Hello students, welcome to chapter number 3, Recruitment and Selection. Arguably the most important part of HR function. Important because you will notice that recruitment is one of the functions which is closest to the heart of any CEO. Obviously because of the reasons that it directly impacts the business bottom line, expansion of business, getting fresh blood into the system, getting the best talent available in the market. Like I said, arguably, but yes, very, very important and very close to the heart of any business functions. So let's see what we are going to cover in recruitment today. We will be focusing mostly on the international part of recruitment, the way recruitment differs when you move abroad, when you go into the foreign lands. So today, mostly we will try and cover different approaches of recruitment. How each approach differs and what are the advantages and disadvantages of each of these approaches. While we are looking at that, we will also look at what are the different trends in terms of technology, in terms of sourcing in recruitment. We will also see what are the challenges that we face when we go in foreign land. At the same time, we will also look at the end, what are the best practices in recruitment internationally today. So this is the chapter structure. You can go through it and understand how we have structured our presentation today. Essentially, we will have this presentation in three sections: sourcing, recruitment, and best practices. So we will start probably with the sourcing, which is the most important part of the recruitment function. Sourcing, it sounds very easy. It sounds something which is very, you know, easy to do. However, at the same time, it's extremely complicated when you go into the foreign land, because everything right from culture, communication, way of thought processes, everything changes. So keeping this in mind, one end, you will observe that when the company lands on the foreign country first, it relies a lot on recruitment agencies or talent hunt companies, basically because to gain that comfort of understanding the culture, understanding the way of communication, understanding how candidates can be approached and how a brand building basically can be done through people who already are there on that ground and who already know the market and professionals there quite well. So while we are sourcing in a foreign land, the first and foremost, most important aspect is to be local while you are being global. So like you see in this slide, it is extremely important to be local while we are being global. What it means is small things. For example, in India, it is very common to come across a resume, and if you like it as a recruiter, you would want to speak to the candidate immediately. You would pick up the call and, pick up the phone and call up the candidate and discuss the position with him. But the same, act is looked at as a very rude thing to do when you are operating in countries like UK or Canada. There, candidates really expect you to email the entire detail of the open position with them and then ask them for their convenient time and then call them up and discuss the position with them. So those are the small things that you really need to adhere to or, remember while you are operating in different environment. Integrating the diverse workforce, yes, one of the most important part while we are sourcing, because if we are over dependent on one channel of sourcing, for example, like I said, going through recruitment agencies or staffing companies, the probability of you getting into the same hurdle mentality is very, very high. So a healthy mix of sourcing channels like, sourcing through advertisement, which also helps you a lot in brand building, sourcing through employee referrals, etc., those are very, very important. So having a very healthy sourcing mix is extremely important while we are on the foreign line. The same remains in Indian context, of course. When we say sourcing, it's not just about attracting candidates. A lot of it has to do with brand building as well. So while we are building brand, one is one to all, like in terms of advertisement or in terms of, going to campuses and presenting your company, what it is all about and what we can offer. While we are doing that, brand building one to one, especially when we are hiring laterals, when we are hiring senior professionals, it becomes extremely important for us to, while we are having a robust recruitment policy or processes, it is extremely important to have equally robust and friendly other HR policies. Typically, policies like reward and recognition or our motivation policies, yes, pay scale policies, the way we structure our pay scales, training and development, most important talent engagement or career management policies. Those become extremely important when we are talking to lateral hires when we are in foreign land, because those becomes your selling points. So typically while we are recruiting or while we are sourcing, we also need to remember that as HR professional, we need to be ready not just with our recruitment or sourcing strategy, but also with our other HR policies, which we need to tailor make, as per the standards and laws of in the foreign land where we are wanting to recruit. Selection in challenging environments. Yes, selection is one of the most important and arguably differs from one place to another. So there are companies who have plain selection strategies which includes probably a written test and mostly the interviewing. Interviews are the most common selection methods across the world. While a lot of companies stick to that, many others want to introduce things like assessment centers, things like psychometric testing, which we will look at a later stage in detail what they are and how they can be used and at what level should we be introducing different selection methods. So that is how the selection process has to be dynamic, the sourcing process has to be dynamic with very healthy mix of sources, with very healthy mix of different channel mix. Now let's move on to see what are the different approaches to recruitment. Various approaches to recruitment introduced by many management gurus, out of which four are the most common, most popularly used approaches which we will look at. The first approach is the ethnocentric approach. In ethnocentric approach, what happens is the headquarter, the parent company, prefers to allocate one of their resources or few of their resources into the new geography where they want to expand the business. For example, a US-based company, say McDonald's, wants to open their franchises here in India. They will depute their best talent from US in India and try to pick up the operations here in India. So typically in an ethnocentric approach, talent from parent company comes in a foreign land and tries to set up the operations. Of course, then they do a lot of local recruitment and hire the local talent as well. But essentially, to establish the operations, they have a team of talented people from their parent company who comes in a foreign land and set up the operations. So what are the advantages of this approach? Typically, in this approach, you will see the team who comes in a foreign land to set up the operations has very good alignment with the vision and policies, processes. From the smallest of the things to the biggest, like the vision of the company, the alignment of the thought process is very, very good. Major advantage. Second important advantage is that these people have very less communication barrier or probably no communication barrier with the headquarters, because when you are establishing the operations in a foreign company, communication has to be free flowing. So there is no communication or cultural gap between the team who is establishing the operation and the headquarters. So those are some of the major important parameters of or thoughts behind having an ethnocentric approach of recruitment or selection. The another most important advantage is that the team who is coming here in a foreign land, there is no loss in the transfer of knowledge. So whatever they have set up there, the entire thing from thought process to policies and processes, they can replicate it as it is here. So there is no loss in the transfer of knowledge. So while those are the advantages, there are obviously certain disadvantages, which includes things like, you know, repetitive in the thing, in the thought processes, no understanding of local or cultural, you know, aspect of the foreign land. Most important, the local, if you see here, the local talent remains untapped. So as long as you don't get into, you know, expansion of your team, or as long as you don't get into recruiting the local talent, the local talent remains untapped. So understanding the local culture, the local way of doing it, the local market, most importantly, what your client or what your customers will be looking at, those aspects which are finer but most very, very important for any business to run, those may remain untapped. So those are, you know, the major disadvantages of any if we go only for ethnocentric, where we don't, you know, have a combination of people. The second approach is the polycentric approach, where it is exactly opposite of ethnocentric approach, where in polycentric approach, the country where, you know, the operations are to be established, all the people are recruited from that location or from that geography only. So, to come over the disadvantages of ethnocentric approach, polycentric approach is, adopted, where all hires are local hires who understand the culture, the marketplace, the customer requirement, how it works, in cases of things like McDonald's, what is the taste of the local crowd. So Indians like more spicy, so they started adding spicy stuff in their burgers. So things like that can be taken care in a polycentric approach. The major advantages in polycentric approach, like I said, is that you understand the culture. There are no communication barriers between you and the customer or the end client. Most importantly, the statutory requirements, the rules and regulations, the government permissions, all of that can be done very smoothly when you have a local person, who is taking care of the operations. Of course, there are certain disadvantages, and those disadvantages include things like the local person or the head of the operations who is recruited locally might not have a complete alignment with the foreign, the headquarters, the foreign company or the parent company, unless the orientation is done very, very rigorously. There is a chance of having, you know, disalignment between the thought processes or in the vision. The second most important disadvantage is that there can be become a hurdle mentality, where, you know, this person recruits only his kind of recruitment. So there is no hybrid, there is no good mixing of sources. So those are certain disadvantages of getting into a strictly polycentric approach. So we have seen the advantages and disadvantages of polycentric approach. Let's now move on to understanding what is geocentric approach. This is the third approach in a row of four approaches which we spoke about. So in a geocentric approach, typically a company who is recruiting does not keep geography as a constraint. So they are open to hire people from across the world. So again, taking the same example, if McDonald's is expanding its operations in India, they would want to hire a person from US who is, the best talent in terms of food. Somebody from a European region who knows the expansion of business so well. somebody from Singapore who understands the Indian market well, and also people from India who understand the customer needs well. So in this approach, typically the company is open to hire the best available talent from across the globe. So geography is not a constraint in hiring in the geocentric approach. So typically a company who is truly global in nature will have such kind of geocentric approach. You will also see that companies will implement different hiring strategies or different recruitment approaches for the different assignments that they would have or different projects that they would have. So a company might adopt ethnocentric approach for recruiting for a project, and for a B project it might want to adopt to a geocentric approach. It all really depends on what the business requirements are. But yes, like we said, a healthy mix of all the approaches or sourcing channels is the best policy to go ahead. So that's what geocentric approach is all about, where HR overcomes all the geographical barriers and hires people from across the globe. So that's what this slide is talking about. You will see a pictorial depiction of how a geocentric approach looks like. So there are people who are hired from US region and from European or UK region. So typically that's what happens in geocentric approach. Certain very obvious advantages of geocentric approach is that you get to hire the best talent which is available worldwide. So geography never becomes a constraint for hiring them. The typical centralized approach of a parent company or the federal system like what we speak about, that gets completely abolished or gets abolished to a very large extent when we hire people from across the globe. Also, sharing of resources becomes very important and at the same time very easy when you hire people from across the globe. So the other most important and most common disadvantage with the geocentric approach is people coming from all over the world for a business in a particular place might just miss on the complete alignment with the headquarters. Alignment in terms of the business processes, policies, vision of the companies, the way people may think or take actions might be completely in disalignment with the headquarters. So that is one of the most important disadvantages of geocentric approach. Now let's move on to looking at what regiocentric approach is. Now like the name suggests, region-centric approach. So what it really means is company really or the organization really restricts itself to a certain region as far as the recruitment is concerned for their expansion of businesses. For example, if the company is coming up with operations in India, they might restrict themselves to recruit people from or talent from Asian market like Japan or China or Singapore. All of these are big Asian business hubs. So the company might just strategize to recruit people from this certain area of Asian countries. So basically the major advantage with this is one, most important, that the people whom they are hiring are from same region, though they are not from the same geography. There is certain level of comfort that they share with each other. There's certain level of understanding in terms of communication culture that they would have with each other. The kind of mindset that they carry would be very similar. Their understanding of the customer, their understanding of their marketplace would be very good because they are from around a region. So this is the pictorial representation of what a geocentric approach would look like. This is the US parent company And then they are putting up an operation here in Italy and hiring, you know, from close places. So we kind of discussed what are the advantages of geocentric approach, and like we said, cultural familiarity of the candidate with the region where the business is coming up is one of the major important advantages. So communication, culture, understanding of statutory requirements, understanding of the rules of the land might become very, very easy for a person who is coming from close by region. But at the same time, because it's not restricted to a certain geography, company has the flexibility to go around and look for the best talent which is available. So those are the certain advantages. What is the disadvantages of this approach? Again, like the earlier approach where we saw that the managers might not just have the alignment with the headquarters. The senior team members, if they miss on the alignment or understanding of what headquarters is expecting them, what the headquarters is expecting out of them, there can be a major disconnect in the way the business is run. Also, companies might miss on the talent which is available either at the home ground or internationally if they are strictly, you know, restricting to a certain geography only. So those are the certain disadvantages. Now a quick check on what we have seen so far. So here's a question which says, ethnocentric approach to recruitment is, just go through the option A, B, and C. What would you say, A, B, or C? So if your answer to answer number one is C and two is A, I think we are on a right line, and you have been hearing me and watching at this PPT quite seriously. That's very nice. So moving on, we will now look at the various recruitment methods. Essentially, people are recruited through two channels, internal channel and external channel. So what are the internal channels? Internal channels could be things like promotions, transfers, and these days there is a new concept called horizontal move or a parallel move, where people from one department, for example, a manager in sales will move to, you know, at a similar level, at the same level, in a different department. These days, a lot of trend in terms of people changing their career path. So that kind of flexibility is also built in with a lot of corporates, which is a very good sign. So these would promotions, transfers, parallel moves would form a part of the internal sources. Whereas external sources, mostly headhunting, we all are aware about this. This is done through the placement companies, cross-national advertising, internal graduate programs, which is also known as campus hiring. Those are the external sources of hiring people. Now let's typically look at how the internal sources work. Like I said, recruiting these days in industry, particularly in the service industry like IT or insurance or BPO, internal hiring has become a big time phenomenon, because here the attrition rate is really, really high compared to the traditional industries. Attrition can vary anything between 20% to 60-65% in industries like hotel industry or insurance industries. So just to ensure that the talent remains, you know, within the home and people get opportunities within the company and they do not have a need of changing jobs only because of, you know, growth reasons, internal sourcing these days have become very, very popular. So things like job posting have become a big trend in IT industries, in BPO industries, where all the internal positions, manager and above, are advertised internally, and people who are interested in that position apply and go through the selection process. So very positive trend in terms of internal sourcing that has started and picking up quite well. Second reason why we should really go sourcing internally is because In an international scenario, when there is a job posting which comes up and gives employees opportunity to go abroad and experience new way of working, experience the way of working in different geography, it really picks up, you know, on the motivation level of the employees, and also goes a long way in for retaining them with the company. In terms of their career management, in terms of their career growth, in terms of compensation. All of these benefits you can pass it on to an internal employee rather than hiring, you know, an external person. However, like we saw the advantages and disadvantages of the earlier approach, one of the disadvantages here is there can be a considerable cost associated with placing a local to a foreign land in terms of his visa processing, his orientation programs, his travel, accommodation, insurance, etc., etc. However, if you compare this shortcoming with the benefit that it would offer in a long run, internal sourcing is in for an international project is something which is very, very good and goes a long way for the company's benefit, both the company and the employee. Moving on to what is external sourcing, like we saw external sourcing a few slides back, we saw that mostly headhunting, which is placing candidates through placement companies, advertising, one of the big ways, and internal graduates or campus hiring. So here again, we are saying that there are a number of specialist organizations, particularly when you are hiring at an overseas location, not knowing the market area so well, not knowing how, you know, the small nuances of hiring, it is a good idea to go to a reputed, well-known placement company and hire the first few from there, and that's where a lot of companies have comfort for, so they go for it. Second, most important, when you are hiring in on a foreign land, it is a very good idea to go for advertisement, because advertisement just helps you to speak to bigger audiences, large number of audiences. It also helps you in brand building. It also helps in your target group in knowing what this company is all about, what they are doing. It gives you a channel to reach to wider audiences. So yes, in external, when you are recruiting internationally, external sources, placement agency is very important, because they would take you just to the right guy. Newspaper advertising, yes, very important, because it helps you with the brand building and reaching to the right audiences. These are the ways that you know, talent pool is really managed. In terms of advertisement, one of the major ways of advertising in is not just print media these days. A lot of advertising is happening online. So there are websites, there are company websites as well as social websites like Facebook or LinkedIn, where positions are advertised and candidates, the right candidates are approached and looked at. Again, a quick check on what are the advantages of recruiting internally, A, B, or C. That's for you to answer. And question 2, recently, what has been proved to be the most quick and effective way of recruiting? Internet, newspaper, or internal movements? We've discussed this already. So that's for you to answer. Moving on to probably the most important part of recruitment, selection methods. So in recruitment, what we have seen is we have strategized in terms of where we have to hire from, how we have to hire, what could be the probable sources of hiring, and what are the good mix of channels in term for hiring. So that is the hiring or the sourcing part we looked at. Now in recruitment, one of the most important parts is selection. Once you have reached to the right person, once you have reached to the right profile, That's just the start of the game. Then you need to get into the selection of the right candidate for the position. Where there are various selection methods that are available today, and the most important selection method is world over interviews. Now, like the name suggests, interview, it is an internal view of both the candidate and the person who is hiring. So, an interview is a two-way dialogue where it's not just for the candidate to prove his mettle, it's also an opportunity for the company to display, their strengths and try and attract the right person, the right professional for their, for the job that they have been advertising. So interviews across has been traditionally and even today the most common and most popular way of selection. During interviews, few cultural and communication related things that we need to keep in mind. Here we have given an example of how an interview works in UK and how it would be in US. So in UK it is increasingly common to have a structured or a panel interview, whereas in US all interviews follow a structured approach. There's a good example which is given here. It says that in terms of cultural norm, it says that in a culture like Korea, when a question is asked, it seems that it is expected for the candidate to be quiet as a token of appreciation or as a token of respect. Whereas in US, the same silence would mean something else. It would mean rude or it would mean dumb. So those cultural nuances we definitely need to remember while we are selecting candidates or we are interviewing them. And as far as the role of HR is concerned, it is not only up to the HR manager to know this, but it is, a core responsibility of HR professional to sensitize both the line managers and the top management to make them oriented to the cultural and communication related nuances and ensure that all of the entire panel is on the same page when they get into interviews. So like we discussed, interview is a two-way process and it is opportunity not just for the candidate to prove his skills, his competencies, his personality attributes, but it is also opportunity for organization to discuss the details, organization to give the right and the good impression to the candidate in terms of what they are all about. It's an opportunity for the company to sell the job to the right candidate, because these days it's not just about a job, it is more about the career opportunity. So that a company needs to remember, or rather the HR professional needs to remember. Now, though interviews are so popular and so common and one of the important selection criteria, the research shows that there are many limitations to, interviewing as an assessment tool. So what could be those, probable limitations? So here we have listed few where we are saying self-fulfilling prophecy. So, if I am a candidate and I have given my resume to the interviewer based on either my profile or based on the information that the interviewer gets about me beforehand, he might have, he might create an impression about my candidature already, and he would want to orient the entire interview only towards that, one aspect. For example, if there are job changes in a certain CV, quick job changes, the interviewer might look at those details and would orient his whole interview only towards, why have been there so many job changes. So the core purpose of the interview, which is assessing the skills and competencies and attitude of the candidate, really takes a backseat, and the whole focus is on a singular aspect.